Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, now listen, I've been telling you every Sunday about the snow. Well, we didn't get it. Well, they say tomorrow we're going to get it. We've had terrible winds here, but I'm not looking forward to the snow, but I really need it, but especially our state. We are in a drought. Would you believe that? At Christmas it was 50, 60 degrees. Well, here I am tonight. I've got my Bible, I've got my message, and I've got a nice glass of lemonade, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us, okay? So just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax. Let's see what God has. Here's our thought for the day. To avoid trouble and ensure safety, breathe through your nose. It keeps the mouth shut. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Genesis, the 7th chapter, and let's begin reading with the first verse. Now, this title of this message is Come into the Ark. And the Lord said, Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and the female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, and male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded of him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, under the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Father, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, help me to tell this story like it is. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we're just human beings. Father, I admit tonight I am in sales and not into management. But oh, how I want people to hear about Jesus and find out that there's nobody so bad in this world that you can't save. Oh, how thankful I am. Lord, you saved this old drunk. I don't know why you love me, but I know you do, and I thank you for it. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible has many, many hundreds of invitations. And God calls people to himself. That means you, that means me. His invitations are found throughout the whole Bible. And first, God's invitation is a call of love. And the first invitation in the Bible, the flood was about to begin. Come thou and all thy house unto the ark. Now, what was this invitation? To survive the flood. Many, many years ago, when I was a director of the rescue mission up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, we had rain. I mean to tell you, I never saw it. In fact, the Red River was coming up and could go over the dike, over the thing. And this college girl called me and says, Reverend Mo, I got a question. Do you suppose God's going to destroy us by water? I said, no. Well, how do you know? Well, I said, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I was 33 years old before I found the answer. Every time you see that great big old beautiful rainbow in the sky, that's God's promise. He would never destroy the earth again by water. Well, the wickedness of Noah's time, and it said, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded of him. There was wickedness everywhere. These were God's people. He brought us into this world, but now they're having wickedness in their thoughts, corrupt in their moral decisions, violence in their dealings with one another. Now, you know what happens then? Well, the judgment that follows wickedness, verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him in the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now, that's a reason. You know why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Because of wickedness, homosexuality. Oh, we don't supposed to bring that up. Why not? It's true. And you know what? God doesn't hate homosexuals or lesbians, nor do I. Oh, I hate what they do, but I sure don't hate them. I'll sit down any time, day or night, and talk to a homosexual or lesbian about Jesus, because that's their only hope. He says they won't go to heaven. Now, we've got churches here in Colorado for homosexuals and homosexual pastors. Well, now, he don't read the Bible, or he don't believe the Bible, I should say, or he wouldn't be a homosexual. Now, I knew before I was saved that the Bible said drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, we call it alcoholism, but it's whatever you want to call it. A drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you're a drunkard tonight, I ask you, won't you come to Jesus, repent of your sins, call upon him, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he will take care of that alcoholism. He did me. God don't love me any more than loves you. He's no respecter of persons. Destruction is determined against the wicked. Now, we know what the Bible said, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but the next verse. Oh, friends, listen. But he loves us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord, verse 8, it says, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth. Grace was offered to a man facing judgment. Did you ever hear the story, probably you have, about this judge? This guy did something terrible to this judge. He went to court, and the judge fined him thousands of dollars. The man didn't have any money. Did you know what the judge did? He went down to the bank, borrowed $1,000, and paid his debt that he imposed upon him. Paid that debt. Now, that's pretty good. That's grace. You and I do not, believe me, dear, we do not deserve heaven. It's for by the grace of God, there go I. Whenever I see an old drunk staggering down the street, I'm reminded of what God did for me. And my heart goes out to them because I know how they feel. I know how they hurt. I remember one time I was preaching in a rescue mission in Arlington, Washington. And I just finished a message and I went out onto the porch. And here was a man laying dead at the foot of the steps. You know what he did? He crawled. Someone beat him or something. He crawled on his hands and knees to that church or that mission. He knew There was someone there that loved him. We did love him, but he never got into the mission. I recall one time when I was driving truck in the mission in Bellingham, Washington. I met a man there. They called him Doc. What he was a pharmacist in the Army during World War II. Well, what happened, his wife had a little baby boy, and before he got home to be discharged, she went and run off with another man, and he never saw his son again. And Doc drank day and night. He drank and he drank and he drank, drank wine, cheap wine. And I'd witness to him. I'd say, Doc, but God loves you. He said, Cecil, that's not the way I see it. If God loved me so much, why did he allow my wife to run off with my son with another man? I said, God loves you. The morning that I was saved, I told the preacher the same thing. If God loves me, why did he take my sis and my mom and my dad and let me be beaten by a mean stepmother all the time? He said, God loves you. He didn't have to explain why. Anyway, that morning when I got on my knees, all of a sudden I felt that love come into my heart, which was Jesus. And then I began to understand a lot of things that I never understood before. But grace is unmerited love. We don't deserve it. But it's a free gift of God, and you can have it tonight. I'm not talking only just for alcoholics or drug addicts or prostitutes. I'm talking to anybody listening to this broadcast tonight to know that if you're sorry for your sins and you will recognize that Jesus is the Son of God and you invite him into your heart, you will be saved. Your name will be written in the Lamb Book of Life. Now, does that mean that you're never going to have any problems? No. Does that mean that you're going to have you're not going to have financial problems? No. Or sickness? No. We do have them. But the thing is, he goes with it, with us through it. Well, God is still offered to sinful people. Now, grace, I said before, is the undeserved favor of God. Now, an invitation to take a step of faith. Noah is invited to come into the ark. And the Lord said, Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Well, destruction is determined against the wicked. Now we said before, the wages of sin is death. You get paid for sin. What is it? Death. Man. Well, grace was offered to a man facing judgment. Grace is still offered to sinful people. Grace is, again, I'm going to repeat it, is undeserved. You and I do not deserve it. I don't deserve heaven. Well, Noah had built the ark by faith. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, we must enter to be saved from the flood. Noah's salvation was by grace through faith. Our salvation is by grace through faith, and I read in Ephesians 2:9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you know, I've told you about my wife, and there's another lady in the Dalles that were self-righteous. They didn't know they were self-righteous, but they were not sinners. Oh, but they were. You know how they knew it? God's Holy Spirit let them know that they were lost and doomed and damned and on the road to hell. Now, Noah was saved from the wrath of God in the flood. Now, We are saved from the wrath by faith in Christ. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see the life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, now, here's an invitation to Noah's whole family. God said, and all thy house. Well, listen, friends. God wants entire families to be saved. Remember in Acts 16:30 and 31. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, friends, if you notice, they didn't say, come join a church, come get baptized, or bring an offering. It said, believe. However, you can't believe until you repent of your sins. That's godly sorrow. There's no salvation apart from repentance, thus saith the Lord. Well, now, what happened when this jailer took them out to his home at midnight? He preached unto his family Jesus. And then they repented of their sins, and then at midnight they went out and got baptized. Did they get baptized to be saved? No. They got baptized because they have been saved. It depicts a death, burial, resurrection. That's why pouring water on your head or sprinkling doesn't represent baptism. And anyway, a little child don't understand salvation. Here's a little baby. They're putting water in his head, and they tell him, you have eternal life. They don't have eternal life until they repent and give their hearts to Christ. You say, well, Cecil, at what age can people be saved? Well, at any age when you're able to understand and believe. Now, my daughter was 5 years old. She's 50-some years old now. Does she know that she was saved that day? Absolutely. I was preaching a revival, and I took her and my family to that revival. And during the invitation, that little 5-year-old girl, who was so bashful, she was terribly bashful. Here she come walking down the aisle, and she put her little arms up, and I picked her up, and I hugged her. And I said, honey, did you mean what you said at our house that this morning, that you were sorry for your sins and you wanted to accept Jesus? She said, I did mean that, Daddy. Well, I've known other children that are young. But mostly people, I don't know, some denominations, Lutherans and Presbyterians, and all those, I'm not putting them down, but they kind of seem to think 12-year-old is the age. Well, you know, Jesus was 12 when he went into the temple and messed up the minds of those self-righteous bigots. The Bible said he wants the circle to be unbroken. You know that song, you've heard it, Shall a Circle Be Unbroken? You know, that's the one thing that the day I accepted Jesus, I started praying for my children to be saved. I started praying for my two lost brothers that they'd accept Jesus. And I'll tell you, I've seen God do it. Now, have my children always lived for the Lord? No, excuse me, I'm going to have a little drink here, please. My, how I thank the Lord for lemonade. Whew. Boy, well, his faithful is to all generations. And I read in Psalms 119:90, thy faithfulness is unto all generation that hast established the earth and in it abideth. Our important task is to lead our families to Christ. Now, I want you to know, beloved, this can be very difficult. God will give us wisdom and power to do it. Now, tonight, I want to give an invitation. And I want you to come to Jesus tonight. If you get a tugging at your heart, God's Holy Spirit is drawing you like a magnet. Friends, he wants to save you a lot more than you want to be saved. Well, will we accept God's invitation to come to him in faith? And what are we doing to ensure that our families are saved. Friends, the storm is coming. And all of us and all of our loved ones, we want to put them in the ark. Well, the day after Christmas, I invited my 5 sons and 2 daughters to a banquet feast. Listen, friends, I don't know when I've enjoyed myself so much. We laughed. We just shared because, you know, we haven't been together for about 5 years, I guess. But, you know, I brought my children up in the church and I brought them up in the Lord. But they still have to make the decision to accept Jesus. I can't do it for them. Their mother can't do them for them. Only, and the preacher can't do it for you. Billy Graham can't do it for you. Cecil Moe can't do it for you. You have to repent and trust Jesus. There was a church in, out of Portland, Gresham. And this old man and old woman, they'd lived a godless life. They both got converted to Christ. Their church was having a great big revival. And so the old man, one prayer meeting, they had prayer meetings before the revival, he prayed, "Lord, whatever it takes to bring my 7 children to Christ, thy will be done." He went that night, getting ready to get dressed to go to the revival. He bent over to tie his shoes and dropped headlong dead on the floor. Did you know that all of his children were saved during this revival? The old man was putting his life on the line. He didn't care what it took to see that his children was going to heaven. And it took his life. But that wouldn't, if he had to die, there's a possibility they would have never been saved. Like I told a friend I led to Christ 2 years ago, an alcoholic. God has blessed him. He's got his business back and he's doing real good. And I said, "You know, Kev, if I hadn't have been an alcoholic, I would have never met you." He said, "That's right." And he said, "And you didn't tell me you could help me. You told me the only person that could help me was Jesus Christ." I said, "That's correct." And that still goes. He's the only one who can help you tonight. Well, friends, listen, you say, "Well, Cecil, I've got that tug in my heart. I really do. And I do want to go to heaven." Well, if you want to go to heaven and you're willing to accept Jesus as your Savior, repent of your sins, I'll tell you, he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life and he'll give you eternal life. That's God's promise. So bow your head to me right now if you'd like to trust Jesus. Here's how it goes. Dear Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh, precious Lord, I'm so sorry for my wayward life. And I'm unhappy. I have no peace. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. Get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. Won't use your name on the air. Won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Just want you to go to heaven. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you so much for listening. I'm asking you to pray for me and my wife and pray for my ministry and my tape ministries. And I send out Bibles. I send out my movies and books to try to help people. No, I'm not trying to make money on those things because I give them away. I want to help people come to Jesus. That's what I'm here for. You know, the song says, God had a plan, and it was a good one. And I'm so happy that he included me in that plan. Now, you trusted Jesus, you're in his plan. You say, so many things I don't understand. Well, call me. 303-471-8534. There's no charge. And if you can't afford to call collect. I'll pick up the tab. Well, folks, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.